friends at Bergamot are back. It's, of course, a brand that's made an impact on us here. It makes a variety of supplements. They use the extract of the bergamot citrus fruit. It's full of polyphenols. It's a supplement that acts as a natural statin and may improve a number of cardiovascular conditions and fatty liver disease, as well as potentially high blood pressure and other things associated with the metabolic syndrome. Now the makers are bringing you a formulation called Bergamot Sport that provides all the same cardiovascular benefits, but with some additives designed to aid athletes and those with an active lifestyle. Bergamot Sport may help improve stamina as well as reduce recovery time and muscle inflammation. In an ongoing study, professional soccer players were asked to use Bergamot Sport, and the documented improvements have been impressive. I use the product. First Lady of Loves uses the product, the Bergamot Femme. Physicians and cardiologists around the world are recommending it. And for a limited time, our listeners can save 10% on their order by entering the code DRDREW at checkout. That's Dr. Drew at checkout, all one word. To try Bergamot Sport for yourself, visit bergamet.com. That is bergamet.com. Or also you can click on the Bergamot banner at drdrew.com. Hey, this is Dr. Drew, and you are listening to This Life
with Bob Forrest
and Dr. Drew.
Here we are.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gather around the iPhone or the, what is the other kind of thing? The Google has a phone.
Turn it on
the Bluetooth. Get grandma. And here's another episode of This Life with Dr. Drew and Bob Forrest.
That's right. And please don't forget to follow us, facebook.com/Dr. Drew, youtube.com/Dr. Drew. Also, Dr. at Twitter. And do subscribe to the show at iTunes, Stitcher, Podbay. And listen when it hits. So we know you're out there. We really do appreciate it. We want to grow the audience and keep this thing going. So remember to visit Dr.com for all of our latest shows. This Life with Bob Forrest, Mike Cathwood, Weekly Infusion with Dr. Bruce, Calling Out with Susan Pinsky, and of course, Adam and Drew Show, Dr. Drew Show, and the new Swole Patrol, doing a health and fitness thing. You're going to be on that, Vinny Tortorich, who's our guest today, with Mike Cathwood, a little specifically health and fitness. And don't forget, you can stream all of the latest podcasts anytime at Dr.com/shows. And look around the website, get the latest news there. Also, you're going to love this. I have with Michelle Poe, remember, who was working on Weekly Infusion with us. She is, and I, but she's really doing a lot of the work, is putting together the ultimate document on the opiate epidemic. We're doing all the research. We're taking it all the way back to prehistory and how poppy was discovered and what used it for, like in ancient Assyrians and things, and bringing it all the way into the present. And we're going to research the hell out of everything, every single element that started breaking down during the 90s.
Well, there's one, I got a question right away.
Yeah.
So during the opium wars and the huge opium epidemic.
So go to dr.com/contact, sign up for it, check out the list there. And also just Google #YouLive and you'll get all the latest podcast posts and everything. So #YouLive.
So just real quick, I've always wondered.
Yeah.
Okay, when the opium wars, what replacement, because heroin didn't exist, what was their suggestion? What was the medical, magical society saying the opium addicts should do as a replacement? Because they always have a replacement.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So the first replacement drug we found in our research was heroin. Heroin was originally being recommended for morphine addiction from Civil War.
It's
kind of the Civil War. It's really kind of post-Civil War, our research showed us. And that'll be coming out in a couple of weeks, that document. That
Long Day's Journey into Night. The mother is a morphine addict.
Right. Same thing at in To Kill a Mockingbird, the neighbor, the female. So a lot of women were the opiate addicts. Mary Todd Lincoln, opium addict. So there was a lot of stuff with women.
Mary Todd Lincoln, he just throws that out there.
Yeah,
like the sacred mother of the nation.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, but she really didn't manifest. Well, that was in the
days. She was a heroin addict.
Yeah.
No, but listen, that was in
the
days.
She would tweak. You know,
that was in the days of laudanum. And so you don't see the word addiction until way later. So they didn't really characterize it as addiction. So the idea of what did they do with the opium dens, those were just bad people, right? Those were people that
but there was a big British movement to get rid of it all.
I know.
Kill them all? What was their solution?
Legal system. Immoral. These are immoral people, not sick people. And the term addiction didn't come until like 30, 40, 50 years later. And
call them opium addicts?
No.
That's what I call them.
The government created the problem and then, you know, just...
Yes. Well,
the government has never done that before. Why would it start all of a sudden?
What we're going to show you in these papers is how this idea of giving substances to opiate to addicts of any stripe has always been in the medical model, and it's always failed horribly, and we're still doing it. And so it's, you know, and the advocates would say, we just haven't found the right drug yet. That's all. We haven't found the right magic ingredient. It's like, no. You don't understand addiction if you're thinking that way. So that's one of the things you're going to see in the arc of this series. Also, we're going to talk about, in detail, the forces that came to play and the position papers of the different societies of medicine that made opioids not addictive and pain what the patient said it was.
Portnoy
was just the beginning, a tiny little piece of it, and how pain became the fifth vital sign. Think about that. As important as your pulse, as your breathing.
Right.
How's your pain? What? It's insane. You remember, how badly I was criticized for that. Do you remember the fights I used to get? You maybe didn't know that the administration was on me because my happy face evaluations were unhappy.
Yeah.
And I was like, of course it is. Let's just not look at it because these are addicts that withdrawal. Right. They're going to be unhappy. It's part of the syndrome.
It's part of America. You know,
where's this going to exist? This
document?
Yeah.
It's going to be a weekly, every other weekly thing we're putting through on doctor.com. It's and we got two out now. We got four done. It's going to be a chronicle.
Well, Drew, look. I mean, the last thing you need is another thing to do because
no. We're doing this.
That laundry list of things you read at the beginning of the show.
Thank you, Vinny.
I needed to go on opium just to get through that. And what I need to know is, when is there going to be on Netflix a Dr. Drew opium documentary? I mean, you have a friend that does documentaries.
Funny you would suggest that. That's sort of been. Let's just say those. It's in the vapors. It's in the vapors.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's stuff out there like that. Being talked to about that. My article
on DrDrew.com.
Wow, she has not been listening to the last 5 minutes of conversation. That's all we've been talking about.
So get it.
Wow.
So, and it's interesting because that was my obsession, I think, last time you were here. I'm like, Big Pharma's killing everybody. Big Pharma's the devil.
No.
It's so...
That's not
they
the
did,
issue.
But it doesn't matter.
You don't think that's
but
the
it
issue?
Doesn't matter.
I mean, no.
It doesn't matter.
They were duplicitous, but they weren't the
It doesn't matter, though.
It doesn't matter.
I think it's bad parenting that's caused all this.
Well,
let's get to the root cause of things.
How about sick families? Families that have not been healthy.
Yeah, but the society influences the parenting, and this parenting shit that they're doing doesn't work.
Doesn't the parenting influence the society?
Ooh.
Didn't we get it back?
Well, in 20 years it does.
Yeah.
But start with the thing that everybody loves to point to, the trophies for everybody, right?
Right.
Nobody's exceptional. Everybody's wonderful type thing. That started 20 years ago. That no longer exists now.
I know.
By the way,
What do you mean? They're
they've
still
gone
doing
back
that.
To
not the way they used to.
I don't think there's a consensus. I still can't figure. A lot of the coaches I've asked, you know, when I was a kid playing Little League, I don't know if you played.
Oh yeah.
But they had a trophy for the most home runs, just like in real baseball, best batting average, right?
Right.
And it was for all the league.
You know what they had also that they got rid of that I think is really a disaster? They got most improved.
Yes.
So kids could go from really...
Mr. Hustle. They had a Hustle Award.
Yeah, and those were good. The efforts and hustle and improved. And those were really the ways for kids that were not great athletes to get acknowledged for really gritting it out.
Right, but they actually meant something.
Yes.
That you could aspire to next year.
Yes.
Right.
There's nothing... The millennials had nothing to aspire to next year.
Right.
And
my nephews, they complain about that. They said, the trophies meant nothing. We'd come home and I got a trophy. We came home and I was celebrated. Mm. Oh, my God, most valuable this, more this.
Yeah.
My nephews would get them and throw them aside. I said, what are you doing? He goes, they gave one to everyone. they would say that to me.
And they're angry with the parents, the adults, for having done that to them.
Yeah.
They didn't want that.
And they
needed that. It was our needs not to see anybody disappointed, not the kids.
But where did that come from? Why did that start? No, not right. It's not a rhetorical. Where did it come from?
Why did we? Because I'll tell you where it came from.
Narcissism.
That's right. Because if the kid is a direct extension of us, we can't stand to see the disappointment. We can't tolerate it in the kid. because it evokes all of our nonsense. So the kid has to not feel those things.
And you have to, honestly, when you are a narcissist like I am, you have to fight against those instincts to be a good parent.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. I'll give you an example. So my, I have a almost 2-year-old daughter, right? She loves to sit on this big bouncy ball that's tall, as tall as she is,
right,
and roll on it. And it just makes me so anxious because she's going to go face first over, crack her teeth, smash her face on the cement outside our house. So I'm always constantly, no, no, no. And I try to hide that ball, and that's the only ball she wants.
Right.
Right. And finally, I just said, I got her and I explained, like, Sid, if you were going to roll over and hit your face on the ground.
Right.
Do you understand that? And she was watching me, and then I kind of did it. And she looked at me, and then she got on the ball, and I just said,
go ahead.
All these feelings I'm having.
Yeah.
It's got to – I'm preventing her from learning. I'm preventing her from having her own experience, right? This is some stuff I've talked to a lot of therapists and helping feel people about. She balances perfectly and knows not to fall face first. For 7 months, I've been intervening, stopping her from doing something she wants. And one day she's going to get lazy and go face first.
Oh, well.
Which is a good thing.
We've got to, but we've got to hold back our feelings that Drew was talking about. I have them.
Yeah.
That's why I want to help other parents understand. You have them. You just have to fight against those things. Those are
good. You have to be present, and that's all.
It's hard when your daughter is about to hit her face.
What did your parents do? You know,
they didn't even know we were balancing on bars.
Exactly. You know, I asked my mom, I said, what was the toughest part about being a parent? She said, watching you guys fail and allowing you guys to fail.
See?
Oh, she knew.
You know, oh, yeah. My mom is beyond brilliant. You know,
where was this?
Down in Louisiana. Both of my parents. But you can see, both of my parents, my dad's got a doctorate in history. My mom has got... I'm not making this up. 3 masters plus 30 hours towards doctorates.
Wow.
And so my mom is one of these super brilliant people. She was in she was an educator her entire life, teacher. And, you know, she just – I even said when Dr. Spock died, you know, I said, isn't it great that guy, you know, he ruined so many generations? And my mom got really quiet. She goes, you know, I followed everything he said.
Oh, no.
I went, okay. Well, I guess we're okay.
But see, those – Well, did she know where you were all the time?
No. No. I lived out in the country.
Yeah.
We left
in the
morning.
So you just left it. Yeah. You went and you walked home from school and whatever. And
yeah.
That kind of world doesn't exist.
The question about that, and I think the reason our generation overcompensated for it is our sense of that was that these parents, our parents, they didn't care, but that they were naive. And that they didn't really appreciate
it. We were smoking weed. Well, I was smoking weed.
They had no idea.
I was. Yeah. I'll admit it. No, Drew was not. Drew was not.
Well, sure
you didn't?
Well, sure.
I've never smoked a joint in my life.
Wait, I did.
Can you believe that?
Of course I did. Of course.
I'm the only guy in the room that's never smoked a joint. I feel like such a nerd. I'm leaving. Goodbye.
That is it. Because
we were engaged in all kinds of dangerous and illicit stuff. And we're like, Jesus, how insane of our parents to let us do that. I'm not going to let my kids do that.
We used to steal golf carts and have demolition derbies with them.
Hang on.
Is that bad?
No.
Susan, there's only 2 cups here. We got 3 peoples.
She's got counting problems today.
So,
all right. So, wait. There's. I'm confused.
So we're having some of your coffee.
Is that it?
Yeah. Is that your coffee?
Huh?
We've been given an empty cup.
Here to promote the coffee.
Yeah. So you want a little milk in this?
Pretend there's coffee in there.
No, I want to drink some coffee.
And is it real coffee that'll give you a buzz on and get you going?
This.
Do you want some?
Yeah, I'll take some.
It's not like
no milk.
It's not going to be like you're going to trick us and it's made of garbanzo beans or something.
Actually, I have hemp oil in here. I don't smoke it, but it's not.
So wait, first of all, let's give all your plugs. So give your website.
Okay, my vinnytortorice.com is my website. That doesn't roll off the tongue, but just do it phonetically, you'll get it.
And Vinny is famous for a particular style of diet.
Yeah. Hashtag NSNG. No sugars, no grains. I wrote the book Fitness Confidential. If you just put Fitness Confidential into Google, everything me will show up.
Follows.
Except for the coffee and the vitamins. I feel
like we're on Shark Tank right now, and you're trying to say, okay, we're going to try your...
I'm beyond Shark Tank. I'm actually making money. I'm not begging for money. But, yeah, no, we started Pure Vitamin Club, and that has turned out well. And
it's not pure coffee.
I started Pure Coffee Club.
So I am of the opinion that coffee has neuroprotective elements to it.
Yeah.
Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, been well established. Yeah.
What about this new stuff about
okay,
the
Okay, that's what I want to get into. So there's a new...
You don't know about this, Vinny, do you?
No, he probably does.
I just have it 2 days ago.
Am I being cornered?
Acrylamide. Acrylamide. There's a new thing. It's something they're using to probably deacidify the coffee or something.
Right.
I don't know what they use it for. It's showing up in 7-Eleven and Starbucks coffee called acrylamide. Have you...
No, I know nothing about it, but I can tell you... let's take the coffee you're drinking right
I'm
now.
I'm drinking. It's very mild. It's not like...
Susan, what did I send you? Was it house blend?
It's not too strong. I like it.
Honey processed?
You know what? I'm not sure because Delmi grounded it.
There were two. You gave us two bags.
Is it green or yellow label on it?
Green.
Green.
Okay, so
it's
house. I don't know.
So
no, I saw it. The one that was sitting here?
Oh, I didn't know. No.
I think I sent you house because that's what you tasted at Adam's place. So,
Oh, that's what happened. I was doing Adam and Drew's show, and I went and had – I always have coffee there, and it always is like
– You always have coffee everywhere,
I do,
Drew.
I do. But there I did, and it's pretty crappy. It was always pretty awful coffee. And this one – I had coffee, like, oh, my God, am I missing something? I was, like, immediately struck, like, what's going on here? And they went, oh, it's Vinny's coffee. I went, I must have.
And then I sent some.
I drink a lot of coffee.
Yeah.
And I had it this morning after I had my first cup of coffee. Then I remembered and we grounded it. And I tried it. And boy, did I have to run to the bathroom, Vinny, I have to say.
It's good you drink so much.
It was like.
Went right through you?
What'd you put in that?
No, all of my coffees are. First, we get the best coffees we can from around the world. How do you
determine that these days? I always thought, to me.
South America.
Well, I'm going to be naive here. I always thought like Kona coffee was the best coffee and the Peaberry Kona coffees, but they're incredibly expensive and sort of rare. Is that – am I just being naive?
No. The Kona stuff is great.
Yeah.
But there's only so little of it that
right.
they have to charge a lot
That's
for
right.
because it's supply and
So
demand.
it's not realistic to give a big supply of that, right?
Right. Okay. It's very tough. But there's a band around the world. Like if you look at if you just put the world out on the map, there's this band – You know, Costa Rica. I just came back from Costa Rica sourcing more coffee. Mm. Ethiopia. We get a lot out of Ethiopia. We get, the Tirzu region, we get a lot from.
Brazil?
Brazil does coffee. Yeah, there's a lot of places that will do it. But getting the good Arabica beans, getting the – you literally have to go to these farms and source this stuff.
Yeah.
And, if you saw the process and how it happens – sourcing the stuff is not easy, getting the good stuff. And then once you source it, you have to come up with a brew, with a roasting that people may or may not like.
Mm. Wow.
I've been drinking coffee my entire life. I've been just obsessed with coffee my entire life.
Well, New Orleans is obsessed with coffee.
Yeah, just drinking it from the time I was 4. And when I set out, just like with vitamins, when I set out to find the best coffees, the best green beans I could get, and then sourcing that, getting it, and then finding the fights I went through to find the best roaster, to roast it exactly the way I wanted it roasted.
See, most people in America nowadays, when it's these gourmet coffees like different, boutique brands, mm-hmm. they want strong coffee that mm-hmm. it's barely drinkable, mm-hmm. but it's going to give you so much bang for your buck.
Well,
this is very nice to drink.
Yeah, it is. And these coffees, it's because Susan made it. And she did it in the Chemex. I'm very impressed that you mm-hmm. did it in the Chemex.
It's not too strong.
No, it's perfect. You did a perfect job. People do a lot of things with coffee. Like a lot of people think espresso is a lot stronger than regular
It's not.
Coffee. It's less.
Yeah.
The thing that gives it more caffeine is that it's pushed through bars and bars of pressure. But it's still not more than a regular cup of coffee if you check the caffeine content.
Yeah.
Right?
So I've thought that.
What makes your – is pure? If we want to get it, we go to Pure Coffee?
PureCoffeeClub.com.
Okay, Pure Coffee Club.
And
what,
you sign up for a membership? This club
you can
idea.
Buy,
What's the
yeah,
club idea?
Well, you can either – on both of my websites, you can sign up and have it shipped every 2 weeks. Every 2 weeks, Drew is getting coffee.
Oh,
wow.
Whether he
that.
Wants to or not.
Oh, wow.
But I don't hold people to – I make it so easy for people to cancel, number one. And number two, you can buy one off. You can just go and shop and buy one and you don't have to sign up.
Okay, let's try it. I'll
because
sign up.
I've always hated, Bob, that people on the internet say, oh, no, you got to sign up. You got to be in the club. No, you want to try it? You could buy one.
Yeah.
One bag.
Well, here that's because investors want that, but most likely. But so here's what I buy. I buy the Vaughn, but the Kona thing that you're talking about that they sell at Vaughn's, and it's always on sale. It's like $5.88 a can. But
oh, that's probably not Kona. It's just name Kona.
No,
it's not really...
no, it is though. But it's a regular can. But when you pop the top off, there's like that much coffee in a can that big.
Yeah. Proof
you know
of
what
advertising.
I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
because your brain is accustomed to, okay, buy that because it's the same size as that, right? Yeah. So I realize I just buy twice as much.
Right.
But I think I'm only spending $5.88.
And Bob, the other thing is on every farm, you know, they, you know, you would have to see it. I'm putting some videos together to show the process. But when they grade coffee, they put it in water through a grading process. So it's these big, giant steps that they go down. The bad coffee floats along the top.
Huh.
The average coffee sits in the middle. The best stuff sinks to the bottom.
Really?
So when it goes over these steps, they're grabbing the coffee off of the bottom.
Uh-huh.
So that's Kona coffee. The stuff up top, the crappy stuff, that's also Kona coffee. But they're not selling at the same rate.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
So you want to buy the stuff that's on the bottom. And you know when you're paying for that because you're not getting.
And how do you, I'm just kind of curious about all this. How did you decide to use Ethiopia as Costa Rica, not Sumatra, and not, you know?
The next year we're pulling a honey process out of the Sumatran region.
Okay. What does honey process mean?
Honey process is something not many people do. The Costa Ricans do it. I'm going to get you a bag of that, and you're going to flip out.
Right.
Just let me send you a bag.
Okay.
Basically. There's two ways to dry coffee. With honey process, they leave the mucilage on the bean when you take it from the cherry, and they let it dry on there. So the process takes a lot longer. They do it on what's called a patio. A lot of sun hits it, and that's the way they dry the coffee.
And then what about, you know, there's all this so much crazy coffee-ness out there these days.
Right.
Was it Bulletproof that got into this whole thing about the fungus or mycotic
the
elements?
Mycotoxins.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to call BS on it.
Well, that's what Joe Rogan has been doing. He's calling it all BS.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. When people started saying, hey, you know, the first time Dave Asprey said, my coffee has no mycotoxins.
Yeah.
I said, that's a lie. That's an out-and-out lie. And then people started calling him on it and said, how are you getting this? He goes, well, I have my own farm that I go to. That's a lie, too.
Well, he has, just the way you have your own.
No,
you have your chosen farms.
We all buy from farms.
Yeah, yeah.
But here's what happens.
It's all semantics.
No, it's not even semantics.
And what is he?
This is Bulletproof coffee. Dave Asprey is a really interesting guy.
I've never heard of Bulletproof.
Oh, yeah, it's a whole thing. It's a deal.
It ain't Stumptown.
No. This comes through the MCT world. You know MCT and medium chain triglycerides? No. See,
that Joe Rogan crap?
Let's talk about this after the show.
You know,
another whole show, but
that's all a bunch of LA hooey.
No.
You know what
no.
I mean? It really is.
Well, yes. And
ozone
yes and
therapy
no.
and all that.
No, that's different.
The reason MCT why I liked you last time you were here is you were against all that bullshit.
I don't bullshit anyone.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. All coffee, whether it's me or Dave Asprey or Starbucks or anyone, we're buying grades of coffee. All these coffees, the cherries show up. Guys come with a motorcycle and dump it into a vat. Other guys show up with a little Isuzu from 200 years ago, drop three or four bags into. Then all of a sudden you have tons and tons of
coffee
this coffee
beans.
That these big trucks come and then take it to these other places for the washing process.
Yeah.
Okay, Dave, what are you doing that's different? We're all buying the best coffee from Arabica beans.
Now I know who this guy is because he's my friend Khalil. Khalil's into that
Oh, for
guy.
Sure. He'd be
waiting. Oh, yeah. No, but that's all that world. It's only an LA world. Drew, you and I were born and raised here. We don't know any better.
To be fair,
you're from Louisiana. Right. You know bullshit when you see it.
I can smell
half of the health and wellness stuff in LA is bullshit.
It's first world stuff.
90%.
It's first world stuff, and it's white privilege stuff. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, let's start with that.
Yeah. No, it is. It's first world.
It really is. It's first world stuff.
Yeah. But I, you know, I'll listen to Dave Asprey's podcast. I mean, he's in some interesting stuff. And
he does.
I am an absolute objector to the idea of hacking biology. That bothers the hell out of me.
I hate the term.
I hate it. I can't stand it. Because nothing biology, that's the way biology
let
works.
Let me tell you something, though. I know some of these guys, and they are so materialistic and obsessed with what they look like and how much money they have and what private jet they're flying on somewhere. It's unbelievable.
Let me, that stuff poisons your body. Hang on a second.
I believe that.
I'm going to defend Dave completely because that is not
I'm not saying him, but that health and wellness and what you just said, that it has the toxins
Mycotoxins.
And they have the coffee makers that cost $3,000 that are in these big things.
Sure.
Yeah.
Listen, I believe all of it is well-meaning. I really do. I think it's well-meaning.
I think it's all narcissistic bullshit myself.
Maybe.
But we're talking about... Wait,
well-meaning?
Wait,
how about well-meaning narcissistic bullshit?
Hang on, Bob. Let's calm down.
This is interesting.
Let him defend Dave for a second so he could be off
the
hook.
I'm not attacking that.
No, it's not about
go back to narcissistic bullshit. There's two conversations we're having.
Well, not in a way, because in a way where it's a really interesting... Bob's taking it in an interesting direction. Because
we got real problems. Our kids are dying from drugs. We got real problems in this country. What triglycerides are in your fucking coffee, I could care fucking less. You know what I'm saying?
I'm with you.
And remind you, Vinny, we started this conversation about Bob announcing what a narcissist he is.
So I'm a narcissist for the people.
Right, but so it's a very relevant conversation in that we do preoccupy about nuanced things that miss the bigger picture.
Right.
And we've gotten away from community and children and family and focus on these things that our parents, your mom was focused on. And we've gotten into the weeds of hacking our biology because, hey, man, it's us. It's us. It's our bodies. And that's a very narcissistic
pursuit. You'll love
this.
Last time we were doing podcasts, you know, I got a colonoscopy. I'm all good and 56 and whatever. Now I got really great health care that started February 1st, 2 days ago. I'm hoping I get really sick because I got the best health care in the world.
Yeah.
And he says, okay, so, I mean, you're going to probably just sail along till you're like 75. You're probably going to just be kind of like this, and then it'll be a really downward spiral. And I was like, I'm going to live to 75? That's amazing!
Yeah, I got that much time.
And now I tell everybody, Drew said I'm going to live to 75.
Said you could.
Drew, how long are you going to live?
You could live to 75.
If you don't have colon cancer and you don't have the penis thing, what is it?
Prostate cancer.
If you can't take care of those two things.
And also the calcium on the heart. Right, I mean, you got it. People should check that.
Right.
Oh, you didn't say that.
Well, you might not make it to 75 now.
Well, which begs the issue on your the.
But do you think if the triglycerides in coffee are going to prevent you from being 75?
That would actually help.
It might. No sugar, no grain. NSNG.
Yeah.
I always wondered. I meant to have a conversation. Maybe we did have it at one time. People like me that have lipid problems and metabolic syndrome and horrible vascular disease in my family. Let's say I must
hypochondriac.
No.
Used to call that.
No.
Stress is workaholism, and stress is another way.
He's like, hey, I'm dying of the flu. Now he's got metabolic syndrome. I'll take all that. Give me your biceps,
you don't think
and I'll take the rest of the
workaholism has something to do with your health issues?
No, I don't. I prevented all that. That's what I'm getting at. I'm genetically prone to all that.
And but you've had some issues that seem to me.
I have a Lynch syndrome. It turns out I was tested genetically. I have something called Lynch syndrome, MSH6.
What's that
in your heart?
It's a DNA repair abnormality. So when my cells divide, they don't repair the DNA normally. So cancers develop very readily: colon, stomach, prostate, pancreas.
You're kidding.
Yep. And so I'm very highly prone to that stuff. And that's why
from the 23andMe thing?
No, color.com. It's a new thing. You should do it.
I'm going to do it.
Yeah, it's color.com.
I just want to make it to 75.
Yeah. But
I think you're good.
Well, he's got,
no, I'm going to say you
no,
said
no,
it too.
Vinny, he's got chronic liver disease. He's got a bunch of stuff going on.
In that case, next week.
There's a heroin addict, man.
I'd be top of the list if I need one.
He's a sewer rat. He made it through all that. Trust me. It's like he's a trial by fire. But shoot, where was I going? Oh, so I have this
cells divide.
I have the Lynch syndrome on one hand, and you know, I do more screening and stuff like that because of that. Oh, I was going to say is like I am medically way worse off than say Donald Trump, who's right. Medically much better than I am. Fitness, I'm much more fit than Donald Trump. But there's a difference between fitness and medical wellness. Those are two, they're overlapping but distinct phenomena.
Right.
So I have a Lynch syndrome. I have horrible vascular disease in my family. I'm hypertensive. I'm hypercholesterolemic. I have all these medical things that I'm managing pharmacologically. They have to be done pharmacologically because they're genetic mechanisms.
Right.
And I've tried with diet and exercise and everything else. And trust me, I've tried with that.
Right.
And finally, I went to the pharmacology. And lo and behold, you know, my dad, whose arteries looked like the landscape of the moon by the time he was 65 and started throwing strokes off his aorta, my calcium score is zero. 0.
Are you serious?
0.0, which means that I intervened early enough and aggressively enough.
With health and exercise?
No.
Or with
medication.
What? Oh, okay.
And health exercise helped, but they couldn't keep this kind of thing back. But my question is, given that heritage, let's say I didn't go on meds, are you worried about people like me with the high fat intake? Because that's how my father got into trouble.
Right.
He was a high fat guy.
In what way? Steaks and stuff?
He just
like
loved
that?
High fat meats and things like that. He loved that stuff.
It should
He
be.
Said meats are good last time.
I know they are. They are.
You're asking a very specific question.
Right. People have certain medical syndrome.
if everything is clogged up with
cholesterol.
Not cholesterol. You're saying the wrong thing.
Well, fat.
No, not fat. It's
calcium.
Not calcium.
Jeez, that's three things it's not.
Well, it's calcium, but it's the hardening of the arteries. It's
What happens is, all right, here's what this is.
Explain, because it's not calcium.
It's plaque. Plaque.
But hold on. It's a disease of the lining of the arteries. And the lining of the arteries.
But it happens to everybody, doesn't it?
No.
No.
And the endothelium is affected by things circulating in the blood. And cholesterol and the cholesterol chylomicrons and things can hit the intima, get laid down there, and cause inflammation and further deposition. The HDL fights against that, but the LDL produces that. And if you have the right endothelial disorder and the right cholesterol, you get those phenomena.
But you see, everyone's been blaming the LDL all these years. And it's not the LDL by
strictly,
itself.
Strictly, right. Not at all.
You know, it's if you have small particle LDLs. If you have the large fluffy particles, it actually clears out.
It's actually probably more complicated than that because we really can't parse out exactly which one's the problem. Certainly, I must have it.
But, you know, we can look at studies, and the fact of the matter is people who are on high-fat diets, people who eat a lot of saturated fat, the incidence of heart disease is identical to people who eat no fat at all.
I would agree with that. I think we've way overstated the fat thing. You and I have agreed on this before.
Yeah, we've
talked
about
it. But I started thinking about people who have genetic stuff like I do. I started wondering, I wonder if we have to worry. Now, I'm never going to worry because I'm taking the medicine to take care of it, and that's the end of that. And in the meantime, I eat your diet. I do.
Yeah, and it works.
And my calcium is 0.0.
And, you know, you don't have inflammation. Yeah. You feel better. Yeah. And that's more of a marker for having heart disease than anything else. So, you know, you have to look at the percentage of people who might have that, number one. Then you have to look at, you know, everything in doctors, everything. And then you have to look at evidence base.
Yeah.
Well, let's get to the thing that was in the news. So Trump, who eats, you know, cheeseburgers constantly from McDonald's, his heart is in good shape. And I knew that was true. I knew, you know, all my liberal friends like, it's a conspiracy. The doctor's lying.
No,
because I've seen it in people I know that are just so unhealthy in their eating habits that just live to be like 95 years old.
That's genetic. And again, don't confuse fitness with medical
He's
wellness.
Absolutely right.
Well, it's pretty hard to eat McDonald's all day long and be fit.
I look healthier than Donald Trump. I am not. And I'm younger.
So he's fit. He's physically fit. Donald Trump on the inside.
Not fit.
Donald Trump couldn't run out of sight in a week.
He's better. Now, I would if I were him.
But but what is the genetics that keeps his arteries unclogged?
It's
keeping
luck
from
of
clogging
the draw.
And all that.
Luck
what?
Of the draw.
It's luck of the draw.
Yeah. That's luck. He probably has a high HDL. He probably has low incidence of small particles.
The reason why I'm trying to figure it out, right? Because
that's who Bob wants to be.
Whatever his genetic makeup is or origins are, eventually with this genetic altering stuff, they could start. Couldn't they start?
We're way off from that, but yes.
But that's where the goal is.
Of course, everything in medicine is that. I mean, look,
that
right
they're
now,
just, you're going to get an injection when you're a baby like Drew that has all these susceptible things, and it's going to offset.
Yeah,
but
that's science fiction.
Well, what is science fiction.
What is it then? Explain it in a simple way.
Well, what it's going to is what we're using all that stuff for now is in cancer therapeutics. So I'm with the Prostate Cancer Foundation. We do all this research, and PCF.org, if anybody wants to help us out, we need it. And we fund tremendous research. And all, you know, like Jimmy Carter's alive today because of research we did, right? Mm-hmm. A cancer, in order to develop, has to be.
He had brain cancer, right?
He has melanoma throughout his body that went also to his brain. But for a tumor to develop, your immune system has to not see it. And there's a protein on lymphocytes, and there's a protein on the cancer that you can block. So you
learn to live with cancer.
So the immune system sees it again and starts getting rid of it. It's like, holy crap, what's that doing there? And attacks it, gets rid of it.
So Drew, bottom line, can we at this point eradicate cancer if we wanted to?
No. But the progress is going really.
They're dealing with gene expression.
Yes,
we're
getting very personalized. We're getting these checkpoint inhibitors, these PARP inhibitors, these things that really go at the mechanism of development of cancer and the mechanism of the immune system's ability to eradicate cancer. We're getting very close, very fast. It is a new age. And by the way, most of the research not being done in this country. A lot of it's done in China, where the wisdom of the Orient prevails. No, they will have nothing to do with that. They are Western medicine. That's what they are about, science in China. And the Eastern medicine practice is
Dubai.
Oh, good.
Right.
It's here.
Dubai.
No, England.
Dubai
England,
is a
England,
big one.
England and China. Big basis for cancer research right now.
No, it's good because I live
city
in a chronic
Dubai
form
dedicated
with
to
they're working.
Research.
They're trying to. I'm sure they're trying to get it there. But as far as the stuff we keep hearing about, is London, is England, and China.
Yeah. Well, they're dropping
another
money
thing
into
that America's not number one in. Yeah.
But you see, the problem with us is we spend so much in healthcare. That eventually,
18%.
I'm telling
it's going to go up and up and up. It's not going in the opposite direction.
I see it. I saw the future. You ready?
Yeah.
Warren Buffett, Jeff Bezos, and
the Chase guy,
Jamie Dimon are getting together. Here's what I think they're going to do. They're going to farm a system for their couple million employees that is essentially the equivalent to the Kaiser.
That's what
The Kaiser system, which is a system that is working. Then I thought, well, the one thing the Kaiser doesn't have is, you know, when people go, I want the best surgeon if I'm going to have that heart surgery.
Right.
You can't do that in Kaiser. They have great surgeons.
You can't even see your own doctor
in
Kaiser.
I understand. So what there will be is a second system that will be unregulated and will be expensive and let people fight that out and whatever. Keep profit out of the insurance, both on the Kaiser system and the second tier system.
Right.
And in the second tier system, you can go find the best, and the best can charge whatever they want, and it'll be just catastrophic insurance, strictly.
Right.
And it'll be expensive, but people can have that. But everyone else, the rest of us, will just get this Kaiser, which will be excellent. It'll be excellent and more than
adequate,
efficient.
But why excellent?
Because all of the money will be put into the system of hospitals and doctors and nurses and healthcare practitioners.
Not in Wall Street.
Not on Wall Street.
But that's
not
gonna
insurance
affect
funds.
Our economy.
We need to take a break.
Very enthusiastic about it. All right, we'll take a little break. Be right back. Well, we're so pleased to have Hydrolite back. Hydrolite is something that we and my family use just about every day, and it is simply the best oral rehydration product I have ever seen. And there are many reasons you should keep some around. I got the flu. I relied on Hydrolite because I knew it would rehydrate me the way an IV fluid would. We all have heard about the flus and the diarrheas, and they all knock you out. Staying well hydrated is critical to getting over these conditions. Even if you manage to avoid getting infected, your schedule is half as busy as mine. Getting 8 glasses of water a day isn't likely to happen. And you don't need it if you've got the proper hydration product, Hydrolite. That is the beauty. Whether you're sick or not, you're going to absolutely benefit from proper balance of sodium, glucose, and water. Hydrolite does this better than a sports drink or water alone. That's right, better. And it comes in great flavors like orange, berry, lemonade. It's available in a pre-mixed powder. Of my personal preference, little effervescent tablets you can simply drop in a bottle of water or a glass of water. And you're done. You got it. And you are rehydrated. And compared to sports drinks, Hydrolite delivers up to 4 times the electrolytes with 75% less sugar. I know. Don't buy into the hype of the brands. Use Hydrolite. It's a better product. I'm telling you. I had intended to invent it. They got there first. So I'm all behind them. Hydrolite solutions are appropriate for all ages, and each bottle or package includes easy-to-follow dosing instructions. Order Hydrolite today at Hydrolite.com/DRDREW. That is Hydrolite.com/Dr. Drew. And for a limited time, our listeners can save 30% on Hydrolite. We actually buy in bulk in our family, so we're going to click through. Believe me, just click the banner on my site and use the code DRDREW18. That is DRDREW18. And we're back.
What are we doing?
We're back.
We're talking. We're talking your coffee. We're talking life.
Yeah, and we are. You were during the break saying something about meth epidemic.
Yeah, there's a meth epidemic. Shelly's here to talk about it. We're going to do a podcast about it.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Did you do meth ever?
I've never done a drug in my life. I've never done steroids.
He was a college football player.
Yeah.
They give you Vicodin when you get on the halftime.
When you play college ball, was the only guy on my team, I think, that wasn't doing something.
Yeah.
Did you feel left out, like you were going to be underperformed because you just knew better?
Well, the one thing that used to bother me was I'd see guys go off for the summertime and come back looking just unbelievable. Yeah. And I was like Stallone in the gym eating, drinking eggs and – you know, actually playing Rocky music and working out really hard, and I come back the same size, worn out. And these guys came back with
monsters.
Huge, deltoids and very small balls. And
yeah.
I was like, okay. And a lot of
Jason Giambi. That's the first one I saw. I was like, whoa, that's that same kid?
Yeah.
Remember that baseball
player? Just overnight.
It was over a summer.
That was a baseball.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, Canseco was the same way, right?
Oh, yeah.
He was big to begin with.
No. All of a sudden, he came back one year, and he was huge.
Manny Ramirez, that's another one. All of a sudden.
I love Manny, though.
I did, too.
Everybody loved Manny.
Look, baseball got into it for a while. It just was a late comer to the biology. I mean, this stuff was going on. The bodybuilding found it first. That was in the 60s.
Yeah.
And they were using it like crazy. That's why Arnold was that. I mean, probably imagine he's still using a little something-something, right? He has to.
Yeah, he to keep it up. Yeah.
Lyle Alzado.
He died, yeah. The guy who got me started in weightlifting when I was 8 ended up dead. You know, his liver finally gave out.
Oh, what do you think about this? The fitness genes guys? There's a genetic testing for both sort of how you manage your diet and also for how you work out. And I tested with them. And again,
Jesus, you're just getting tested.
Yeah, and it confirmed everything I believed about my workout.
What did they tell you?
It's a long readout. I'll show it to you. It's very long. It's very involved.
Really?
Tons of genes about how your muscle metabolism works to what time of day you work out best, whether it's heavy weights, whether it's CrossFit, whether it's low reps, high reps. There was all these different biologies that they were looking at.
Yeah.
And it came back and I went, yep, that's exactly what I've always felt was me, that I was always told by trainers, no, don't do that.
Right. That's the problem with most trainers and most so-called experts in the field is that they don't really have it figured out.
Yeah.
No, but they know what works for them. I've always seen
which
it very
doesn't work.
Similar
or even
to
most people. It's not necessarily going to work for you.
I've seen they're very – because they work side by side nowadays. Yoga, gym, health and wellness, and rehab. They're almost intermingled.
Yeah.
So – and I see how these gym guys – just say the same things to every client throughout the whole year, but it's really what they did. It was what worked for them to become healthy and fit, and so then try to project it onto every
Bob. You couldn't be more correct, and I think that's why I succeeded so long in that career. It's because no two people are exactly alike. You have to assess who they are and what they are and how to get them there.
Well, most times they're telling these drug addicts that are 60 days sober to do shit and agree to do shit that they're never going to fucking do.
You
know what I mean? And I'm always like, you're not going to do that. You're doing that because you got nothing to do and we drive you in a van over there.
Yeah.
You're not going to do that in real life.
Well, that's something
practical that you can do. Now, yoga is everywhere, right?
Yeah.
If somebody can just – or you can go to a gym or you can run. But the idea that you have a trainer when you're in rehab and then all of a sudden that's going to carry over into real life, it's not going to.
It never does. You know, the outside world is always different. It always works differently. And people just don't realize that. You can't be in this fairyland of this is what we're doing. That's why I've always hated Golden Door and Canyon Ranch and all these different things because – it's this fairyland of, hey, we're going to do everything perfectly. Well, after your 2 weeks are up, or week, or whatever it is, you go back to regular life, And that doesn't exist anymore.
But I always tell the story. I played high school basketball. I still, every morning, do the same stretching exercises that I was taught in freshman in high school on JV basketball.
What are those? What do you do? Hamstrings?
Stretch, hamstrings, yeah. Back, twist, go back and sideways, lay down, stretch, right? Just to make your body, okay, it's morning time.
Just to wake it up,
right? That's all I'm really going to do. And I lead an active life.
Yeah,
I'm not going to go meet a guy on Thursday at 8 at the CrossFit on Santa Monica Fairfax.
But your point is...
You know what I mean? Yeah, and most people are not.
But your point is well taken, is that the exercises you will do...
Find things that work.
...are the ones that you will do.
I always say that the most important exercise in the world are the ones you will do.
Right. That's been my... that's been always my philosophy.
Hey, Bob, your mic's a little hot, so I'll take it back. Any lower.
Okay, so... And here's the interesting thing.
He's getting excited.
I watch a lot of basketball, and I watched Blake Griffin's debut last night for Detroit, right?
Yeah.
They had this whole thing where it's his big debut. You know, he's coming. He didn't even know he was getting traded, so they were covering it from long before. He was doing the same stretching exercises on the floor of the Detroit arena that my coach Jeff taught me when I was 14 years old. Now, he's got a guy doing it with him.
Right. Oh, speaking of athletes like that, have you guys seen the current version of Real Sports with Brian Gumbel?
No, what's out there?
He's got these three guys. It's like the football version of the Ball family in basketball.
Oh. You know,
and the dad and the mom and these kids are...
That's the Mannings, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. And by the way, I taught the Mannings in school, at Newman School. I taught Cooper Manning and Peyton Manning.
Wow.
They were part of... that was my first gig.
From Louisiana?
Yeah, from New Orleans. And Archie is a friend. And they were at Newman School, and I was their weightlifting coach.
So maybe you can touch on that, because I'm interested in parenting. That's my big obsession. Obviously, Peyton obviously is a personality, he's charismatic, but Eli's an exceptional person also, right?
All three of the kids are.
Those parents raised those boys, not Pop Warner football or YA or all the things that get it's those parents from the way they must have parented those boys to be so humble and be such hard workers. And I just loved a story. When what's his name, Johnny Football, was out of control the first year, he came to their thing in Louisiana, the quarterback thing, right? And I guess both Peyton and Eli tried to sit down with him and go, listen up. And they weren't doing it in some codependent way. Listen to us.
Right.
You are not going to make it, young man.
Right.
Right? That's very Archie Manning direct.
But here's the thing that I could tell you about Archie and Olivia is – this will sum it up for you. When Archie finished playing football, he could have easily gone into the booth and worked for network television. Yeah, yeah. And he said, no, I'm done. I want to raise my kids now. Who would do that? Who would do that?
Yeah, I know. Archie Manning was a great – I was a fan of his at Washington
Redskins
back in the 70s.
Great guy. You know, just, you know, very hard worker. When Peyton, Cooper and Peyton, they were both playing at the same time. Cooper was the one that had a bone marrow disorder or whatever, and he had to get out of football. He was at Ole Miss. He was the best athlete of all of them, Cooper.
Wow.
He was just an amazing athlete. I actually was his chaperone to Florida one year for spring break.
Make sure he didn't get in trouble?
He was picking a fight on the beach one night in Fort Walton Beach, and I said, dude, those guys were way bigger than you. Who did you think was going to jump in? And
you.
He goes, you. And I said, you realize I can't go beat up high school kids, right? I'm of age that I can't do that.
Hey, I want to take some emails here from culture.com. Here we go. I understand you're concerned about the opiate epidemic. Tom Petty, though, broke his hip mid-tour.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. It wasn't just chronic pain. He also had emphysema. This wasn't Prince Part 2. He may have felt he needed to do this last tour because he was dying.
Did you write this yourself just so I'd get pissed off?
Go ahead. Respond. He was a horrible smoker.
So you saw the sadness, right?
Yeah,
I cried the day I heard it when I thought it was a heart attack. Loved him.
Yeah, we all did.
And
we're the same age,
and
so
he was very familiar with Prince's story. There's no way that he didn't hear the word fentanyl, because all great songwriters loved Prince. Right. And the Prince coverage was very clear. Mm-hmm. He's taking this drug called fentanyl. Right.
To a layperson like myself, what is that? What is fentanyl?
Fentanyl is for cancer. It's about 100 times powerful than heroin.
But it's used for everything now. Yeah, you can probably get it for, you know.
But it's part of the opioid epidemic. It's like to have regular people without cancer using it is
well. There. And here's the thing, and terrible. We're going to get in this with the Shelley episode next. But the reason why certain drugs are so popular is because you can produce them with chemicals right here in the United States. Right. You don't have to import anything, like coffee. You know what I mean? You don't have to go to a farm and look at a bunch of beans. You can just order stuff on the internet, deliver to your house, mix them together with a medium amount of chemical knowledge.
Tell the Tom Petty story.
Okay, so you can't trust doctors. Let's just say that.
When it comes to addicts.
But you should also know that you're an addict, and just a year ago you were mourning the death of a fellow musician that you loved,
right?
And he died of a drug called fentanyl, and then now a doctor's telling you to take fentanyl for whatever reason. The doctor
and we know that
to take,
for a fact he was on fentanyl.
Yeah. It's so sad. And everybody at home, if you can see, I'm wearing a fuck fentanyl shirt.
Yes, he is. I don't know that Facebook Live is so hip on that, but there it is. And you add a benzodiazepine to that, that's a lethal combination, and it's done all the time.
You haven't heard of fentanyl?
Well, I hear the term, but I don't know what
it
is.
I don't take an aspirin. I'm that guy. I do not understand why people don't hear me when I say all of my addict patients who die this way. Prince, Tom Petty, Jeff Conway, Mike Starr, all of them. 100% are people who were in recovery doing great and go to a doctor and say, I'm having back pain, I'm having hip pain, and off they go. And people like Jeff Conway, who we took off.
Doctors are killing
people.
We
took off drugs multiple times to the point where the last time he was tap dancing, he had no pain, went back and went,
danced on our TV show. Did you know that? Then 4 months later, this doctor demanded he have a surgery.
And put him in a nursing home to give him because he had to have so much opiates that was the only safe way to administer.
Because he might stop breathing at home.
Mike Starr.
Get that. Because he might stop breathing at home, but he needs amount of medicine.
Starting to play musician again. He's been sober, was he 9 months, a year at that point?
Saw a doctor in Utah.
In Utah, and he called me. He goes, I'm having back pain. And I go, Mike, whatever you do, please, dear God, do not say that to a doctor. Do you understand me? Don't tell a doctor you're having back pain. Dead 2 weeks later with the pills at his bedside.
All right, so let me ask a direct question about fentanyl. You said 10 to 12 times stronger than...
100 times longer.
100.
Yeah. Well, it depends on... It doesn't really matter.
I mean, that's crazy because...
No, it's not crazy.
So you use less.
To worry about the dosing of an opioid is anathema. It's stilly. You just use a tiny bit and you get a bigger effect. That's all.
So true.
You use more if you want a bigger effect.
So let me understand drugs.
Yeah.
I've had my shoulder operated on 1,000 times and they give me the opioids.
Yeah.
By day 3 or day 5, I'm off completely because I have nightmares.
Yes.
I'm constipated.
Right. I'm sweating.
I can't stand it.
Me too. So we're genetically set up in
such a way.
You guys
are stupid.
Right. Yeah.
I'm glad I'm stupid because I'm still here.
But that's how different our genetics are in our relationship to opiates than, say, a Bob Forrest, who thinks this is the greatest thing ever happened to
him. I want to know what you did with the rest of those pills.
I still have them. Yeah. So, Bob, let me ask you. You take an opiate. You take whatever they – I don't know the names of them. They give them to me.
Whatever. Oxycontin.
Yeah, that's the one I had the last time.
Of course.
Well, I haven't – I've never had this experience. I was a straight junkie, but a lot of my friends report as soon as you ingest the drug, something comes awakened in you. Shelley has a great description of it when she was in the hospital. My friend has a great description. He was getting oral surgery, and they shot him up with liquid Valium, and he said his last thoughts were, I wonder if they still sell drugs at MacArthur Park.
Because it creates something in you, awakens
the addict in you.
Yeah, immediately.
Right?
Immediately. And doctors aren't trained on that. They don't understand
that. They don't
that.
Believe that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think they believe it.
I think they think you can control it and we can monitor it and we can responsibly use these medicines. They don't understand what it does to the
That's
addict
only if
mind.
You take too
Not
much.
Not just the addict brain, but the addict
do
mind.
Do you both understand that when a guy like me I listen to this show from time to time. A guy like me, you should have me more often because I don't
you
get
represent,
it.
Yeah.
You don't get
I'm
it.
Representing the other side.
My sister doesn't get it either.
Yeah, you know, but I have, like I said, friends and family, and they'll say, oh, you don't understand.
You don't because you're not
genetically. It's like think of your best orgasm ever and then multiply that.
Yeah.
You know.
And that's all the time. Right? You can be that way all the time.
I wish I had that feeling.
You can,
right.
feel, like, then, you can feel like that for like 3 hours
but then it
at
stops,
a time.
But then it stops working.
Then you have need to take more.
Need more
and
more.
Here's the problem of fentanyl. Then you need to take more, and more is
dangerous.
Deadly.
Dangerous, yeah. And right? But then you add the Xanax or the Klonopin to
but
it.
But the more frightening thing is, and the reason I bring it up, a friend of mine's son OD'd and is in a coma right now from last night, 12 o'clock
oh,
last
boy.
Night. And by all reports and what we know about the region's Orange County, they're putting fentanyl in the heroin to boost the strength of the heroin,
right?
Right? And fentanyl is an easy composition to put together. And it's so you have these kids going in and out of rehab, right? So they're stopping for 40 or 60 or 6 months, and then they're going back to heroin, and it's got fentanyl in it, and they stop breathing, right?
Right.
It's been happening in droves all across the United States. Unbelievable. And
so why aren't
you,
we doing...
You got to read the opiate articles I'm putting out. Read the series.
Well, he's asking a really important question. What is somebody doing about it? Nothing.
What's being done?
Nothing.
Because,
nothing.
You know, I hear a lot about gun control, but it seems like more people are dying this way than...
Oh, yeah,
than
for sure.
AIDS
more
than
guns or anything.
So why don't I hear... The only time I hear about it is when I
Trump,
hear this show.
Trump talks about it.
Right.
But he doesn't do anything about it.
Right.
Because it costs money to do something about it.
Here's my...
But we can't not do something because it's going to cost us more.
Dude, it gets so complicated.
I think it's very simple. I think that as long as there's this mitigating circumstance of addiction, which is the person has to ingest the drugs to die, nobody's really going to go to the ends of the earth to cure it. Different than the flu or some other...
Because the perception is they chose it. That's the perception. Because we in this country are so wedded to free will and freedom that the idea that somebody's brain gets them to do something is they refuse to acknowledge it, that it's a brain disorder.
Are these the same people that think that gay is a choice? I mean,
it's similar phenomena, isn't it? But let's just say, look, getting rid of it, I have one simple thing I could see we could do, which is let's freaking get the hell behind 12-step and mutual aid societies.
Because it's
really,
free.
It's free. Yeah. And those people stay sober by helping newcomers.
And
I don't care.
That's how it was.
And
that's
I don't
how
care.
It was. Used to be the judicial system thought, well, you got to go to AA. Get a court card. You got to go to 12-step and try to turn your life around or you're going to end up in prison. Now, it's like, oh, my God, you got all this paperwork documented. Oh, you need to be on medicines.
You need medicine. You need to be on Suboxone and stuff. There's all these replacement therapies. Remember, heroin was the treatment for morphine addiction. Heroin was the treatment originally for amphetamine addiction. Morphine was the treatment for alcoholism. Medicine has always used this idea of replacement, and it's always been a catastrophe in one way or another.
But
so,
we are a pharmacological wonderland at this
saying,
point, and I don't think it's an either-or. I don't think it's,
no, it's not
only big
it's
pharma.
Not.
It's the doctors. It's the insurance industry.
Yeah.
It's our for-profit healthcare system.
The government.
And it's whiny, snivelly baby boomers on another level.
But like, you know, I hear you say it's very complicated. You said it's a very simple solution.
It's very simple.
What is it? I think one simple thing is to educate the public about 12-step and start reducing stigma against that. Stop telling stop telling people that doesn't work. Stop giving people excuses. You don't like the God thing. You don't like this thing. You know, that thing. I don't care. It's free. Go. It works. I don't care what you don't like about it.
But
take
why
it.
Are
Do
you
it.
Not so aggressive about the whiny, snivelly society we have? I'm more focused on – I've never seen – my dad was a Republican. Republican. I grew up in a Republican household. I never seen such whiny, snivelly bullshit in my life from Republicans in the last 5 years. Everybody's whiny and snivelly. You expect liberals to be whiny and snivelly, but Republicans whiny
as
and
they
snivel.
Are. Well, right.
But the whole but
you know what I'm everyone saying? Everybody whines and snivels, and nobody says upset. Stop whining and sniveling.
Everybody's upset at nothing, which is the crazy. But you see, we're the same age. You know, you went down this path of taking drugs. I went down this path of never. Yet we both look at the younger generation and go, what the fuck's wrong? What are you so upset about?
Well, you can fix the millennials by reparenting them. That's what really Shelley and I do. That's what rehabs do, is reparent and just say, dude, nobody cares. I'm the first person, I think, in some young people's lives to say, nobody gives a fuck.
Yeah.
What illusion are you under?
Well, look.
You know what I mean? I don't think, and you should see the look on their face when I say that.
But you see, Bob, let me explain something to you about you and me. You're 56.
Yeah.
I'm 55.
Yeah.
If you ever look at it, me, you, and maybe a year or so under us, we don't belong to a generation.
Any generation.
We're the nowhere generation.
Do you know that?
You're the
no,
crossover.
We're lumped in with the baby boomers. Yes. We're said to be late baby boomers, right. But we're not like baby boomers.
But cusp generations usually have insight.
But that's us. Yeah. You see, we grew up wearing Levi 501s and T-shirts, and we
still wearing them.
Same
quarter
here.
Or 501.
Yeah, we do too.
Our generation we literally quietly get the job done, and we don't complain. We don't, you know. I was almost dead of cancer before I figured out I had cancer. You know, we don't complain about anything, right? And we're looking at this other generation going, you do realize you don't really matter. See, we learned we didn't matter because Madison Avenue never gave us clothes to wear. We just kept wearing our Levi's.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? They didn't give us colors. They didn't give us cars.
We are kind of, era is kind of the forgotten generation.
Yeah, we are forgotten. We are a nowhere generation. They never made a car for us. What's our car? What's our car? We don't have one.
The Pacer.
No,
maybe. Yeah, the AMC Pacer might be American, our car.
The AMC Pacer.
They gave us
nothing. I had one of those.
Yeah, literally, how old is Corolla? 53? 52?
I'm 55, I think.
Maybe, I'm 55. Maybe, he's younger than me.
54, then.
All right. He's the last. You know, we have to go drive other people's cars. We never had a car.
What was your car's generation? What was it? Corvette?
No. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. That would have been. Oof.
Oh, look at he wouldn't even allow himself to be a part of this generation.
Yeah. More like Mustangs and Camaros and things like that. Yeah.
Not us.
Those were like $700 when we were coming of age.
As a matter of fact, I had a Cougar convertible. I bought it for $700. Cougar. It was a 71.
Or about Mercury Capris. That's what my friends drove.
They were six cylinders.
Oh, crap.
No, but yeah. You're right nobody,
you know, they didn't market to us. So we walk. You see, you walk around pissed off the way I walk around pissed off. You know, we're pissed off when we're looking at this generation going, you don't fucking have an idea how good you have it because we're not part of any generation.
Gen Xers. The Gen Xers get shit done. Some of them.
Yeah, but my daughter's age is getting shit done. That's the 20-year-olds now. They don't even associate with the old. How old
millennials.
Are you?
The millennials. My kids are 25, but they're getting stepped on too. They were sort of that millennial. Probably the end of the millennial thing. Would that be? Are the millennials late 20s now?
Yeah, I think they're
into their 30s.
30s now.
Yeah. And you ever see that?
I blame the economy too on what millennials were feeling because they've never seen a growing economy in their lifetime.
Right.
And I watch my kids sort of wake up to the idea like, oh, the economy grows? Oh, and there's opportunity in this kind of.
Yeah.
Whoa, you're kidding.
When are you thinking the economy grew? Because I think we have different takes on it. I started to thrive in the 90s. The 90s really were an economic boom.
Oh, yeah.
In my life. Right.
Oh, absolutely.
I was 25 in 90s.
That was a crazy. That was
30. I was 30.
Bob, that was a crazy time of growth. That was, you know, 80s, 90s, big growth.
It was a strange thing. Like, I remember just like, you're never going to have nothing. You got to get used to it. All of a sudden, like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I
think millennials are sort of experiencing a little bit of that now. I think they're sort of waking up to, whoa, there's we got to do something. Well, it's a whole step top. We got to do something about wage growth. We got to do something about
it. But I just really think we got to stop the whining. I don't think you're ever going to stop the drugs until you address the root causes of it.
Which whining seems too generic to me.
Okay, so when a friend of mine says his hip hurts,
yeah.
I say, dude, my hip hurts too. You know, well, like, come on okay. now. So you, we got to get through, but don't end up going to a fucking doctor and right. dying.
I believe.
Right. Is it worth dying for?
And Bob,
the pain you're having?
I believe what the way I've said it.
That's community.
I agree with that, but the way I've said it is we must accept our mortality and we must accept ordinary misery. Ordinary misery is something that Americans have decided they don't have to have. Everybody has to have it. It's good for you.
Right.
You need ordinary misery. What Dr. Freud's original project was to determine the difference between pathology and ordinary misery. And we've decided in this country that ordinary misery is anathema to existence. No, not only
they
is
have
it
pills for ordinary misery.
It's good, and we should learn to tolerate it. Ordinary misery is good, and we are mortal. Those are two things that people need to come to terms with that they are not, right? And would so, that do it?
Yeah.
But do you see a turning? I mean, he's, you know,
I think
you're
so.
Saying people have to stop
optimistic.
Crying. And, you know, I don't know if I'm seeing a turn.
I think I am.
Well, you know, here's an interesting fit. So I'm pretty outspoken and people, but, you know, I am.
I can't believe what I'm hearing.
So,
right
so, so get this, though. When somebody does the regular everyday, you know, complaining about everyday yeah. miseries, yeah. I'm right. very. I'm very funny and cutting, but I'm very to the point. Like, dude, everybody's fucking miserable.
Yes, and what I'll tell you, there's, you can flip it, Bob. Flip it to what are you grateful for? What are you grateful? Gratitude is extremely, extremely renewing and enriching. What are you grateful? I know you're grateful for stuff. Look what you got. You live in a country where you have food and clean water, and you live in California where it's sunny all the damn time. And I mean, there's so much we're grateful for that's just drifted into the background. You must bring it into the foreground and make note of it. I really believe that strongly. So gratitude, community, acceptance of ordinary misery, all that stuff is a necessary thing. And I'm starting to hear those kinds of things. And I'm starting to hear it on podcasts. And I get really? This feeling that people are coming to podcasts to really think about life because yeah. you can't get it immediate.
Well,
anymore.
I also
can't
think that
television.
What I did with Facebook, I think disconnecting from yeah. from all of the misery yep. that just they just want to bury you in their misery.
Okay, speaking of burying right? you, Susan's going to throw the dog okay. in here. Says we're going to be buried. I want to say our friends okay. at, oh, she wants a picture. That's what this our friends at Bergamet, Bergamet Sport, Bergamet Femme, Bergamet Mega Plus, also our friends at Hydrolite. Vinny, give all your plugs here.
PureVitaminClub.com, PureCoffeeClub.com, VinnyTartaris.com. That's good enough.
Hashtag NSNG.
Hashtag NSNG. Try the coffee, folks. And you will be impressed.
You will indeed, right? Are we right? It's good coffee?
Yeah, it was great.
Hashtag you live for us, and we'll see you all next time. Thank you.
Remember, you can find all these podcasts at drdrew.com. The Dr. Drew podcast, the This Life podcast, and the Adam and Drew podcast, which is available 5 days a week. Find them all on iTunes and rate us 5 stars. Subscribe and get it first. And if you're really happy, click on the Amazon banner at drdrew.com to help support the show. We'll thank you for it. If you join the email list via drdrew.com/contact, we'll send you a weekly infusion newsletter with Dr. Drew's news. We're so grateful when you get in touch. We read all your emails and we'll bring you the subject matter you want to hear about. You live.